You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Mark Walton here, looking ahead to... Well, we're not looking ahead to anything, actually. We're going to look back on the action from the weekend at Cheltenham, and in a few minutes' time, Sam Norris and Tom Morley will be along to look ahead to the best of Tuesday's action. We'll hand to them shortly. First things first, Mr. Walton, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Alex. How are you, sir?
I'm well. You... We're at Cheltenham on Saturday.
I was.
On PR duties.
Yes.
What's that entail then?
Well, it was mainly trying to get William Hill Prices onto the ITV coverage, which is obviously key. And we saw the impact of that with regards to Paisley Park, because we went 6-1 straight after the race. A lot of firms were a lot shorter than that. And as a result, in the space of about 5-10 minutes, we were... 6-1 into about 4-1. So
you may have cost the company lots of money.
Maybe, but it's,
well done, Mark.
It's a good thing to get the prices out there, isn't it?
Sterling work as ever. We're going to have a quick spin through the Monday jury because we thought, well, who better to ask than the man that was actually there? We start with, what impact can Frodon and Elegant Escape have on the Cheltenham Gold Cup? Of course, Frodon, a delightful winner once again of the Cotswold Chase. Elegant Escape back in second. Firstly, yes or no, is Frodon good enough to win a Gold Cup?
Sadly, no, I don't think.
Correct. He's lovely, but he's not quite good enough.
It was a great story, wasn't it? He loves Cheltenham. It's great to see the relationship he's got with Bryony Frost. And he just keeps improving, doesn't he? It's remarkable to think he's only 7 years old, I think. You know, he's been around for so long and we've seen him, so much of him these last couple of years. You thought maybe he was a couple of years older than that. He's still open to plenty of progress. But no matter how much progress a horse is open to, you can't make them stay further than they'll stay. And he was out on his feet at the end of that race on Saturday. He was clinging on in the end to Elegant Escape, who rallied really nicely, showed that stamina that he has in abundance.
I was going to say, Elegant Escape is completely different.
Yes.
In that he, while he has class, he's all about stamina.
Yeah, we've seen it with Native River last year, that the horses that have that kind of extra stamina up their sleeve obviously won the Welsh National, same as Elegant Escape did en route to the Gold Cup. It's 3.25 miles and a bit up a hill. You really need to stay to win a Gold Cup. And I think Frodon will travel well. Turning for home might be bang there again. I just don't think he'll get up the hill the same as Elegant Escape will, and one or two others as well. So as much as I'd like to see Frodon win at the Cheltenham Festival, I don't think the Gold Cup is the race for him. I think Elegant Escape, however, could play a big part.
Yeah, I think he could run on to nab maybe fifth or fourth.
He'll be full of running up the hill when one or two others are flagging.
True. What about Paisley Park? Is Paisley Park your idea of the Stayers Hurdle winner?
It's hard not to be impressed with him at the weekend. He's won that race by 12 lengths and done it doing cartwheels. It's a lovely story as well. The story about the owner and the connect, you know, the yard Emma Lavelle getting a big success and having festival aspirations and dreams for her and the owner. Aidan Coleman on board with a nice success as well. The story is very nice. It would make a lovely Cheltenham Festival winner on that part, and he's got ability in abundance. I actually spoke to Sir Anthony McCoy on the back of that race. We were just having a little chat after it had been announced that we were going 6-1.
Was he telling you to go away like he normally does?
He was, yeah. He got some heavy men to come and try and move me on. No, and he was saying 6-1's huge, and I was like, well, the 6-1 has now gone.
Yeah,
we're into 4-1. He goes, it should be 6-4. And that's an exaggeration, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was an impressive performance. And in a division where we've seen horses that have failed over fences or quite haven't done their best, and horses that have been disappointing of late coming back to form over this extended distance, Paisley Park is one of those, like Thistlecrack was when he won it, where 3 miles over hurdles is just absolutely perfect for him.
That's the plan for him. He's the one who this has been the plan for some time, whereas others have sort of ended up there by hook or by crook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you think he'll win?
I think he is a worthy favourite at the moment. Okay. Whether he goes and wins on the day is open to question. But yeah, if I were to have a bet on the performance I've been most impressed with so far. Mm-hmm. Paisley Park is definitely that.
Talking of impressive performances, the opening race at Cheltenham on Saturday saw Fakir Dudari win impressively, and is now up there towards the head of the betting for the Triumph hurdle. Mm. Now, firstly, very impressive. Secondly, I just don't think it was a very good race.
Yes.
And I'm not getting too carried away with that. It was nice, and it's nice to see a horse sprint up the hill, basically. But doing it now and doing it again in March are two very different things. I'm taking it with a pinch of salt. Was it impressive? Yes. Would I be backing it off the back of that for the Triumph? Personally, no. What about you?
I don't think he quite has the pace for the Triumph. It was impressive, yes. And like you say, I'm not sure what he's beating him behind. I think Fine Brunello, a stablemate actually, could be one to consider maybe for the Fred Winter or something like that.
It was unfancied in the betting, wasn't
it? Yes, he was 25-1. He's run a good race in second there. But Fakir Dudari was good on the day. Would I back him for the Triumph? I'm not convinced yet. Mm. I think he wants further in time.
And George O'Brien also has Sir Eric, who's, I think, joint favourite for the Triumph right now. And you mentioned his second on the day. Fine Brunello's now, I mean, it looks like he's got a strong hand anyway going into the Triumph.
Oh, he's, yeah.
But it's always a difficult race to call on the day, let alone a few weeks before. Any other eye catches then from Cheltenham?
I quite liked the performance of a couple in the Ballymore trial. Mm-hmm. Birchdale, obviously the winner. He's still quite raw. He's only had two starts, I think, in the UK. Did all right. I'm not convinced he would have won, because Brewing Up a Storm was right there as well for Ollie Murphy. Fell at the last. I thought it was going to be a real set two between that pair, but those two were by far the best two in the race. So Birchdale, you say well done for winning, and you say Brewing Up a Storm, if he's no worse for that fall, I think he is entitled to have another day in the sun, really. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed in that race with Jarvis Plate, given that he won so well a couple of weeks ago at Cheltenham, or a few weeks ago. I expected more from him on the day, and I thought he was a bit disappointing. So that would be the disappointing one from the day, really.
He looked the stick on place angle. He's going to run his race.
Yeah,
he didn't.
I just thought, you know, I was looking at the race before, and I thought if he was trained by a more glamorous trainer, if you like, mm-hmm. no disrespect to Fergal O'Brien, he had a penalty to defy, but I still thought, you know, given the way he's won last time, he'd be favourite for this race.
Yeah.
And it turns out he shouldn't have been favourite, because that was a...
I was going to say, shows what you know.
Shows what I know.
Right, we've got some cracking racing coming up over the weekend. A Dublin Racing Festival over in Ireland, featuring the Irish Gold Cup. Irish Gold Cup inclusive. What races are you looking forward to?
All of them. It's just a fantastic festival before the festival, isn't it? You've got an absolute plethora of top class horses. Actually done a little advertisement for it, if you like, or a little teaser for it for William Hill Radio, and you look back at the winners and runners from last season and how they went on to perform at Cheltenham, it's the biggest clues for Cheltenham in terms of Irish runners. Are we talking about the Irish Gold Cup then to win it?
Either or. I mean, you've got the Irish Gold Cup. We can talk about anything you want to talk about, Mark. The Monday Jury talks about the Irish Gold Cup. If I was to pin you down for a selection, I mean, Kenboy is one of those ones who we've just had a little Gold Cup discussion around Frodo and an Elegant Escape. Mm. Kenboy's one that a lot of people are thinking could be the unexposed chaser in the lineup. But he's still got to win the Irish Gold Cup. He doesn't have to win it, of course, but I think he's got one heck of an engine.
He does. And we got a great story in the Irish Gold Cup last year, didn't we, with Ed Wolfe coming back from the brink of death to go on and win it. Not sure we're going to have anything quite as emotive as that winning it this time around, but there are a good field. Kenboy, as you mentioned, four wins next to his name now. He's clearly going the right way. I think Al Boom Photo is an interesting runner. For Willie Mullins, he obviously was the horse that's injured Ruby Walsh, wasn't it, at the Cheltenham Festival mm-hmm. last season, but he's clearly got plenty of ability. I would be interested, if Ruth Jefferson goes that way, with waiting patiently, because he was unlucky at Kempton. We didn't really find out whether he is a Gold Cup potentially worthy of taking part in the Gold Cup on that performance, but I think we could get a few more clues here, and this is a big test, a nice test to find out where you stand come Cheltenham in March. We haven't really had the British runners go over to the Irish Dublin Racing Festival
often,
in the years that it's been as it is, and I think they're missing a trick, and I think Ruth Jefferson, if she decides to go that way with waiting patiently, he's 10-1 for the race at the moment. he'd have a great chance for me, and we'd find out a lot about him. So I'd be looking forward to that.
And elsewhere in Ireland, is there anything else that you're particularly looking forward to, or is it just a sit back, savour and gather the pointers for Cheltenham sort of weekend?
A little bit of both, really, I'd say. Again, I'd be interested if we see a British raider in the shape of Le Bagawar, who's clearly doing very well over fences now, stamina in abundance, and interesting to see how she gets on. Larishberg is an Irish runner that I'd quite look forward to seeing. The Irish champion hurdle this weekend as well just looks absolutely top notch. So I'd say probably, yeah, it's one for maybe reflecting on more than betting on for me at the moment. But there's plenty to go out. You know, take your pick of the top Irish runners and you'll probably see them this weekend.
You mentioned that you've made a lovely natty little promo. Shall we hear it now before we hear from Sam Norris and Tom Morley?
Let's. We have a great weekend in prospect here on William Hill Racing Radio with top-class action in both the UK and Ireland. There's the Grade 2 William Hill Toughton Novices Chase as the feature of a good card at Wetherby. Grade 1 action at Sandown in the Scilly Isles Novices Chase alongside a simply spectacular weekend over the Irish Sea at Leopardstown's Dublin Racing Festival. You won't get more Cheltenham Festival clues at any other venue before those big 4 days in March. And at last year's Dublin Racing Festival, we saw Min.
And Min is going to exact retribution on Simply Ned for the last meeting here. And up towards the finish, it's Min and David Mullins in the colours of Susanna Ritchie will win the Dublin Chase in good style.
Footpad.
Footpad the leader at the last. Footpad over, followed by Petit Mouchoir. They're clear of any second now. It is Footpad all the way now as they race up towards the finish.
Foot sure, foot perfect at the last. And a sparkling win in the Arcor for Footpad. And Ruby Walsh passing the post a good 10 or 12.
Super Sunday.
They're coming down to the final flight in the BHB Insurance Irish Champion Hurdle. Faheen is just the leader from Super Sunday, who's challenging strongly on the near side for Robbie Power. It's Super Sunday has taken up the running now as they run up towards the finish. Faheen is no answer. Super Sunday back to 2 miles. Wins the BHB
Far Class.
It is now Far Class and Jack Kennedy who have got the lead over Mr. Adjudicator and Paul Townend in second. And as they race up towards the line, it is Far Class out in front, and Far Class has won the Triumph Hurdle. It's a 1-2 for Ireland, as in second is Mr. Adjudicator.
Sam Crow.
Sam Crow is going to do it all right, and Sam Crow wins in good style and retains his unbeaten record. Black Op in second.
And Relegates.
And Relegates is finishing off very quickly indeed in the black jacket under Katie Walsh. Relegate getting up, wearing down, carefully selected. They hit the line. Relegate wins.
Who all went on to either win or place at the Cheltenham Festival. You don't want to miss this weekend, and you can hear it all live with the thoughts of former champion jockey Sir Anthony McCoy and Ken Pitterson offering his paddock views live from the track right here on William Hill Racing Radio.
Time to talk Mondays at racing. While we have a moment, we're taking a look at a couple of races on the all-weather from Wolverhampton, beginning with the first race of the day there, the 4:35. And why am I not surprised that you selected the all-weather meeting again, Tom, for the 1,500th time in a row? You've not picked any jumps racing.
Well, it's better to stick with what you know, isn't it really?
Yeah. I guess.
Plus 2-day declarations.
Yeah, of course.
When am I meant to study jumps racing for the next day on my drive up?
24 hours before, clearly.
Well, yeah, I'd have had an hour.
We'll start with this opening race at Wolverhampton. I've no doubt Tom will be able to find us an inn on these two races. The opener is a handicap over a mile for the 4:35. Got a field of 13 of them lined up. It's a big field, as indeed most of the races are there at Wolverhampton on Monday night. How do you sift through these, Tom?
Yeah, a low grade handicap just over a mile. My selection here is going to be the Charlie Wallace trained gelding Sharp Operator. I mean, Sharp Operator has been in good form this winter, followed a couple of decent efforts at Chelmsford when he didn't get a clear run on either occasion, with a second place finish at Lingfield, and again he didn't get a clear run there. Once he did, he closed quickly. Line just came too soon. But if those three runs were frustrating, then I've got to say, last time at Kempton, when sent off a very short price, that was pretty horrific for supporters. Literally couldn't get space anywhere and was cruising, but the gap just never came until far too late. I guess the one small question mark is the drop back in trip, but he's been travelling so well in recent times, I think he can overcome that. And, well, he should have already won how many times this winter? So better late than never. And I think here Sharp Operator can come out on top. Wolverhampton perhaps a bit more space as well potentially, which will help, because he is a bit of a hostage to fortune the way he has to be ridden. Energia Flavio can challenge for a place, but ran well last time, but a rare victor. Thundercloud doesn't appear to relish the all weather. Thunder Buddy's not raced here, seems to need to prove this is his trip. Sahira, that's been running well over shorter, but up to a mile last time and form fell below the usual level. Voice of a Leader was pretty flat at Lingfield, but I guess previous form gives that one at least a chance of being placed. Blight and Lass, that's been off for a few months, returns over a trip shorter than normal. Amor Fati, I mean, that did come good at Chelmsford earlier this month, but a couple more recent runs suggest he's now more of a place project off his new mark, but at least he's in good heart. Cookie Ring's out of form. Legargan's just been very poor recently. Sarkhaven's never won and, well, looks even more unlikely to do so recently. And Mr. Wing doesn't often beat a horse, let alone beat a load of them. So, for me, I think Sharp Operator really ought to get this one on the board and finally notch a whip victory.
A Sharp Operator then to get off the mark for Charlie Wallace, and Richard Kingscote gets the vote in that 4:35 race at Wolverhampton. On to a race a little bit later on in the car. This is the 6:45 handicap over a mile, five furlongs and a bit, almost a mile six in truth. This is a Class 5 event, one for the more staying types. What was your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, to be honest, this was almost like a substitute race, because I did quite fancy Fast Track back over six furlongs in an earlier race, but then when it got lumbered with stall 13, I went off it. So instead, we've gone for this race, and I'm going to go for the seven-year-old gelding Tommy Dock. I know he hasn't won since June 2015, but every Dock has his day, so this is time.
What you spend all your time doing, creating rubbish puns like that?
Absolutely.
Is that why you need the 48-hour declaration?
Yes. I don't usually have enough time in pre-normal races to get them out, all my sarky comments about things.
Fair enough. Do continue.
Basically, they messed this horse up by coming second in the Queen's Vase in June 2015. I mean, that shot his mark up from 78 to 94. And it was November last year, 2018, before he got the mark down into the 70s again. You know, that is called ruining it. Anyway, December, it hit the low 70s, and finally he was down to a mark he could be competitive of. Second at Lingfield, then second to the reopposing Isle of Avalon, and then third last time at Lingfield to Fearsome. You know, the pace of the race probably didn't suit last time. Just look at how proficient Fearsome has proved to be, so I reckon that's pretty decent form. Looked like this trip would suit better too now. Small weight advantage over Isle of Avalon is also good news, but I mean, that horse actually has disappointed since and gets headgear, so I think Tommy Dock can beat her this time and finally win another race and just be rewarded for the good recent performances. And again, looking elsewhere down the field, I mean, Country and Western enjoyed the Fibre Sand, but I think it's got plenty to prove away from Southwell. Ezanak looks in need of some help to get some weight off his back. Pure Country ran well at Kempton in a novice event in October, but I can't fancy it after coming last at Deauville earlier this month, even with first-time cheek pieces. All My Love, well, that was last seen at Fakenham unseating, but had been below her best on the flat prior to that. Noble Expression, lightly raced, but well beaten in a cellar last time. I think that needs more, despite falling down the handicap. Angel Gabriel has his second run for the new yard, but last one, well, probably nearly as far back as Tommy Dock. Bamako du Châtelet, good form in the autumn. Not been running too badly over shorter on more recent starts. So that's a lively place candidate, I think, but perhaps more needed to win for it. And Isle of Avalon we've dealt with. I think this horse, Tommy Dock, will reverse placings. And Sporty Yankee, well, probably best just to ignore Sporty Yankee. So all in all, I think it's time for Tommy Dock to get back on the winning trail after forgetting what it's all about.
Tommy Dock in that 6:45 then goes with Tom's earlier selection on Monday night in the 4:35, which was Sharp Operator. Thank you for that, Tom. Pleasure as always, and enjoy the racing on Monday evening.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.